If you love Christmas, then all your Christmases have come at once.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
This is Christmas Podding, the podcast dedicated to all things Christmas.
Hi.
Who is it?
It's Carol Singers.
This is Christmas Podding's 12 Days of Christmas Podcasts, a podcast every day from now till Christmas Day.
Good King Wenceslas, look out.
Now, here's your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Well, hi everyone, thanks for joining us. This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. We're doing 12 Days of Christmas Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We're getting closer. Merry Christmas, Vanessa.
Merry Christmas. 4 days to go.
Yeah,
we're
I know.
Nearly there.
There's so much happening around at the moment. This week is my favourite week of the year. Not only because we're doing a podcast today, but there's lights up everywhere. Everyone's inviting you over for some nibbles.
And it's so social.
I really need to sleep. I almost can't wait for Christmas Day so I can sleep on Saturday.
Just for your nap.
Just to have a bit of a Christmas, post-Christmas nap.
Yep.
We've got a lot coming up on this episode. Our favourite Christmas TV specials on the way. Jamie Oliver's got two new 60-minute specials for
goodness.
Christmas. The ones we've loved over the years.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about Christmas cards a little later on. We've got the guys from the Australian Greeting Card Association coming on. They reckon Christmas cards are back. Well, I haven't seen any in my letterbox.
Well, I've received one.
I've written a lot.
Yeah.
But apparently they're writing in huge numbers. So why it's so important to send Christmas cards this year. We'll get onto that. Let's start the show. Are you giving Grandma a present this year? Apparently not. The new trend is 44% of us would rather give ourselves a treat than Grandma. 29% of us are buying for Grandma.
Oh.
44 are buying for herself. Self-gifting on the agenda this year. What are you buying yourself?
All right. Yeah, I do. I have given my husband a few ideas. You know, he said, I'd like some of your ideas as to what you want for Christmas.
Okay, what did you tell him?
Some earrings. I want a family calendar, you know, that has, you know, plans out for every family member.
We had bought one of those last year.
I need some new perfume.
Such a waste of money buying a 2021. But the concept.
I'm still dirty about my diary.
For the months we used a family calendar, game changer this year. It's been so good.
Yeah,
Great gift.
I like that visual on the wall.
If he doesn't buy you that, I'll buy you that.
Okay,
it's a great gift. I'm going to buy one for my wife anyway.
So look,
I might
have
two for one.
Yeah, okay, perfect. I haven't specifically bought myself anything yet. We've got a few days to go and I still need to get to the shops for a few gifts, so I might. But the thing is, I've also got some leftover birthday money. So I actually still have some cash like put aside where I'm like, I'll buy myself something nice because that's the birthday money I got. Maybe that'll just be
you've
a Christmas
over.
Present that then I'll wrap and put under the tree. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean?
Well,
you don't need anything anymore. Like you've crossed over. Like my list is complete. I don't need anything. So I'm struggling. So the gifts I told the kids to buy, I probably didn't really need it. Like I've said, buy me new car mats.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can always, like I love a nice, you know, checker plate car mat.
Right.
But I got that 3 years ago. So I'm just replacing the ones from 3 years ago. So I don't need anything. Any records I wanted throughout the year, I bought throughout the year. So I'm struggling for a self-gift.
Okay.
I'm sure there's something I want to buy. I'm more about experiences too. We're going away after Christmas.
Yeah.
That's going to be the fun time.
That is good.
But I don't know why Grandma has to cop it in the neck. Poor Granny doesn't. You know, as a result of not buying Granny a present, we're now buying ourselves more. I thought Granny would be on the... Maybe the older you get, the less of the other chain you get.
I mean, I know that for my grandma, she lives in aged care interstate. And
is
so,
she?
Yeah.
Phone her on Christmas Day?
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have a conversation. And I do send her a card and a photo of the kids.
She'd love that, yeah.
I guess that's a gift. I guess, you know, I guess that does count as a gift. But I just kind of think, I know in the past when it was her birthday or something and we all kind of got together and we go, well, what are we going to do because she doesn't really have much space to keep stuff. Mm. She doesn't, you know, really need multitudes of chocolates. Like, so it is difficult.
That stat has just guilted me. So 29% of us buy gifts for grandparents. Yeah. 44% buy them for ourselves, not for our partners. That's self-gifting. Yeah. We're talking great granny and granddad here. So the kids' great grandparents are 97 and 94.
Yeah.
And we send them a card every year and we send them photos of the kids.
Yeah.
They send money to the kids every year.
Do they?
And I'm just thinking, I never buy them presents. Like, I think I always often just think the card is enough. Do they want anything? I don't know. I'm part of this problem.
Feeling
very guilty.
As am I. But you know what? I think having this conversation now, I think that a picture of the kids is probably perfect and all they would ask and want for anyway.
You know how much it cost me to print off photos of the kids? I went down to Officeworks, it cost me 10 cents a photo. Yeah, like, it was so cheap.
Well, tell you what, mine are the school photos. They charge a lot for school photos,
yeah, we
don't
do that.
They?
We whack in a school photo as well. Yeah. Got to get your money's worth. You do. Coming up next, we'll talk about Christmas cooking specials on the TV. What are your favourites? What do you like to watch? How great are the new Jamie Oliver specials? We'll find out next on Christmas Podding.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. You're in the middle of a 12 Days of Christmas podcast, a podcast every day between now and Christmas Day. One of our favourite things to do, both of us, is watch TV specials.
Yes.
Cooking specials. So Jamie Oliver's got two new specials out. All reports are they're amazing. He has nailed Christmas in the last decade.
Yes.
I bought the Jamie box set recently, which was his Christmas DVD box set. He's done about 8 of them over the years. From when the kids were young to now the kids are teenagers. He has always done Christmas better than most.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. He just has some amazing recipes. It's his personality. It's seeing the kids growing up. Like, I remember watching his one, was it last year, where he did those cheesy bread balls? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that was just heaven.
I can imagine you'd like Jamie's cooking because he's the king of the turkey. So he does a roast turkey every year.
Yeah.
He's big on flavouring the butter. He's big on, you know, ripping up the skin and putting the butter under the skin so it's all more. He's big on putting a clementine up the jacksy, as he says, of a turkey.
And also, I just love seeing that.
His words, not mine.
Okay. I love seeing the influence of, you know, he's obviously over in England.
Yeah.
And I love seeing how they do things and what's tradition for them. And what about how he keeps the turkey outside because it's snowing outside.
That was
so he's like, bring the turkey in.
That was the one thing that always shocked me, where he'd just leave the turkey
out
on the deck overnight because it was so cold out there.
Can you imagine if we did that?
The possums would eat it, you know.
That's disgusting.
A straight
cat. Food poisoning.
Yes, absolutely. It'd go off. This year, his cooking special is called Keep Cooking It Christmas. So he did that whole COVID show over the last couple of months. Same, but different. Christmas recipes on the cheap.
I'll be watching
for
sure.
Me too. Do we talk about our love of Nigella's Christmas special here? We love Nigella Lawson.
She is the best.
Old story. I'm going to retell it because it's one of my favourites. When we worked together, we worked together for many years, we would schedule in Christmas meetings at 9 o'clock every morning. So we'd mark it on the diary and we'd block out times and no one else could call us. Like an official meeting time.
I reckon it was the Christmas of 07. And we just had a regular meeting
every
day for about 2 weeks leading up to Christmas.
Where we would watch the Nigella Christmas special. Every day, because she had about 10 of them. So
everyone thought we were Christmas planning.
Yeah,
we're just watching.
Just getting stuff ready for the radio show. I just love the fact that I'd type into my emails. You know, like I'd block out meeting time.
Yeah,
they must be so dedicated to their job. Yeah, we're just talking Christmas.
So dedicated.
It's Christmas. You know, we're just getting Christmas ready. And
little did we know, we were preparing for this very moment.
For the podcast. It's actually quite serendipitous, the amount of Christmas things that have happened in our life.
Yeah.
Randomly over the last umpteen years that now come back and we use as fodder for the show.
Yeah, that's all become content for us. It's amazing.
Like, who would have thought me working at a Christmas shop in between gigs would have provided so much content.
Us watching TV in the office in the 2 weeks before Christmas.
Just wasting an hour a day. But
not a waste, though.
I still watch. I crack that DVD out every year. I watch Nigella's Christmas every year without fail.
It will never get old.
It's just a really well-made Christmas special. Like, she's beautiful. She cooks amazing food. The jazz music in the background, the twinkling lights, you know, her sneaking down the stairs and, you know, sipping vodka out of the freezer at midnight, you know.
Have you ever made any of those recipes?
Regularly.
Like, does that translate for you into I'm going to go make that myself?
Absolutely. So the one I got off her a decade or two ago was she gets fruitcake, Christmas cake, and she mashes it up with a couple of spoons and then she'll pour a block of melted chocolate through it. You roll it into balls. Once the chocolate sets in the fruitcake, you've got these Christmas balls.
The pudding balls.
Yes. I've made those.
So have I.
Numerous years.
Yeah, we both used to make them.
Yeah.
Now, there's an Australian one as well that I used to love watching. I actually haven't watched it in years because they don't make it anymore, but that show called The Cook and the Chef.
I love that show.
And it was Maggie Beer and Simon...
What's his name?
Somebody. Mm. And they did a Christmas special. that was also amazing. And that was really cool because it was the Australian influence. And I loved that show. It was great.
I love The Cook and the Chef as well. As cheesy as it is, I always enjoy the Christmas with the Australian Woman's Weekly TV show. Oh. So, you know, it was on Channel 9 for a long time. And then that seemed to follow Lisa Wilkinson when she went from 9 to 10.
Yes.
It's now on 10. And I love it. Little tips and tricks and colour schemes. And
can I tell you something I did? I went to the library. It was in October. So it was towards the end of October. Went to the library. I'm looking in the cooking section. The massive Australian Women's Weekly Christmas cookbook. And it is like a Bible. It's big and thick and
beautiful.
Filled with beautiful recipes. I was like, it's October. Nobody's taken the Christmas books. Yes. So I got a couple of Christmas cookbooks. Anyway, come November, I'm like, I didn't really get much of a chance to look at them. Jump on my app, renew. Still got the books.
Still got, of course you do.
And so I got it for the whole of December. And so now I've been cooking from it all the time.
Yeah, that was like the Christmas book you recommended last December for me, that Sophie Kinsella's Christmas Shopaholic. People had it out on repeat until June. I read it in June. Couldn't get it.
Yeah, I know. I just felt like I'd won lotto to be able to renew that book and have it for the 2 months leading up to Christmas.
It doesn't feel like Christmas to me unless you've watched a Christmas cooking special. Get into it. It makes you feel good. You might even get some ideas for the big day. Coming up real soon, are we taking advantage of how different Christmas will be this year? Could it be the most peaceful Christmas of all time? We'll find out next on Christmas Podding.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness, and we are talking all things of Christmas. And thanks for downloading the 12 days of our Christmas podcast, one a day between now and Christmas Day. Are you taking advantage of what will be a very different Christmas? So the saying that's been kicking around is finally peace on earth. And it's going to be a very peaceful Christmas because you're not going to be with all your family and friends. A lot of us can't travel internationally. 3 million Australians flew overseas last Christmas. 3 million? A population of 25 million and 3 million of us. And I'm, hands up, I was one of them last Christmas.
We know.
I can't live in the bask in the glory of last year's Parisian Christmas.
I know. What
when
a
I was
dream.
When I was in London on Christmas
what
morning.
What a dream.
And the bells from the Kensington Church were going. So three
cycled around Buckingham Palace.
On Christmas Day.
I know.
There's a movie in that. There really is.
Yeah.
So apparently this year, 3 million of us are staying at home.
That's pretty full on, isn't it?
That's going to be 25 million Australians in Australia. That's unheard of. Mm. So they're saying take advantage of a more quieter Christmas. Does this sit with you? You know, without the frenzy of travelling overseas, shops aren't as busy, they're saying, because we're not spending as much as we have in years gone by. Do you like the idea of a peaceful Christmas?
Look, I have to say I've never travelled overseas at Christmas, so I can't speak on that. That's no different for me. I would like to one day, for sure.
Game changer.
I'll put it on the list, but not at this stage. But I have definitely noticed the change in events, in the number of events. You know, I know that usually the weekends in December are basically three events on every day of the weekend. You're out nearly every weeknight. Like, it's just stuff. Catch-ups, carols, this event.
None of that.
You've got to go to that concert.
No parties this year. It was so quiet, wasn't it?
It's definitely been cut back. And although we're not living under many restrictions at the moment, we have a lot of freedom. It just, there is definitely a different feeling to it. And, you know, I'm a little sad at some of the things that got dropped this year that didn't go ahead have in previous years.
No, I'm loving it. I deliberately worked myself silly for the first couple of weeks of December.
Yes.
That was a choice. There was an opportunity to do more hours. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do that because there was nothing else on.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like I was running
out. You weren't missing out on
stuff. No. And in years gone by, we've had a very full calendar. I actually feel like this week I've taken a very big exhale. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's Christmas week. This is my favourite week of the year. In fact, you know, when we were on the radio together for many years, this was always this was the week I'd say, nah, we're not taking holidays this week. We're going to enjoy it up until Christmas Eve.
Yes,
we worked on Christmas
Eve. Yep, absolutely.
It was the best time to be on the radio.
Yeah, I do have to say, though, I remember a couple of years where I had weekends where there were five social events in one day, starting with breakfast, you know, and you're just packing it in. So it is absolutely just a much better pace and feeling to go with quality over quantity this year. Look, I do appreciate that part of it.
Enjoy the peace and quiet. Enjoy the break, because once everything changes, next year, I reckon we'll be back to normal. There'll be a hut, and I'll be one of those. I'll be straight in a plane. We're out of here, baby. See you later. Like, I love the hustle and bustle of Christmas. I'm enjoying the peacefulness even more. It's just a nice time. And a more of a, I feel more grateful for some reason. I just feel like,
I agree.
What a crappy year. Gee, it's nice to just have a bit of a month downtime with the kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't waste it.
Embrace it.
Exactly. Maybe spend some time writing Christmas cards. If you haven't sent yours already, we are going to catch up real soon with a guy who's going to, you know, he's all about sending Christmas cards from the Australian Greeting Card Association. We think it's a bit of a dying art. Is it? Why you need to take a handwritten card to wherever you're spending Christmas Day to this year? We'll give you the top tips on that up next.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Potting. Our names are Liam and Ness. Look, we talk all things Christmas with a topic on the show right now that's actually quite dear to both our hearts. What you mightn't have realised over the last couple of seasons is that Vanessa and I send a lot of Christmas cards. Yep. Whereas this is a bit of a dying art, something that's actually really annoyed me over the years, because I remember I'd send 50 a year, get two back.
I know.
I'm down to about 10 a year now, still get none back. And it actually offends me. So let's go to the source from the Australian Greeting Card Association. Henry Kovacevic joins us on the show right now. Henry, are we losing the battle here? Like, I know you love to write them. Why are they writing back?
Oh, well, Liam and Ness, firstly, hello to both of you and to all your listeners. It's great to talk about the importance of Christmas cards this year. I don't think it's a dying art. You guys are probably younger than me. And guess who the biggest demographic is that's taking up greeting cards more than any other demographic? The millennials who were born into the digital era are actually, based on research, buying greeting cards as much as anyone is, as much as your grandma is. How about that?
What is it about the greeting card that does fill us with that feeling? Like, it is so different when you go to your post box or somebody comes, you know, drops it off, gives it to you. What is it about the physical thing of having a Christmas card as opposed to a text message or an email or whatever digital alternative that there might be?
There is something lovely about getting something in the mail. Look, we've had 25 years of text messaging, social media messaging, and sending emails, and it serves a purpose and it's good. And when we get them, we go, oh, isn't that nice? But then, you know, you delete, delete, delete. Or you might put it in a file on the many folders that you have on your messaging system. But as an alternative and a contrast, when you go to your letterbox and you open it up, and normally you'll find bills in there and you'll find promotional material, when you find a greeting card in there, You can see the special envelope, and you can feel there's a card in there. Then you see someone's handwriting on the envelope, right? And then there's a little flutter in your heart that you think, wow, someone has thought about me for that length of time, right from where they went to a shop, browsed the display, found a card that matches what they think is a connection between me and them. Then they brought it home, they wrote it, they put it in the envelope. Obviously, they put a lot of thought into their writing. They put a stamp on it. They put it in the little red box, and then it arrives in your letterbox. And then you receive it. How special is that? It really is a more personalised way and a deeper richer way of letting someone know, hey, I really dig you. I love you. I want you to know that I'm sharing my thoughts with you at this time of the year. And always remember, a great thing about a card is that you can slip in a photo, some special stickers, maybe a joke card, and maybe even a pressed flower. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
That's lovely.
Hey, we're chatting to Henry from the Australian Greeting Card Association. They are encouraging the nation to stay connected with their loved ones by taking advantage of the cheap postage rates when it comes to cards, or hand-deliver them when you're going over for some Christmas nibbles. Before we let you go, what's your top tips? If we're going to write a Christmas card this year, what do you recommend?
Just take a little bit of time to sit at your desk with a pen and write something, add some embellishments to it and post it off. It's going to really bring a smile to people who you know, who may have been feeling a little bit saddened by everything that's happened over the last 9 months, and that's why greeting cards are important.
Mate, it's so good to have you on. We really want to encourage all the listeners of this podcast to send Christmas cards, get back into the habit, make it happen. Although my sister, who's a prolific Christmas card writer, she sends so many of them, but she actually fills them with glitter. I don't even open her. I don't open hers anymore.
Beautiful.
No.
Beautiful.
No.
Beautiful.
No, Henry.
There we go. There you go. Beautiful, simple idea, but as such a special touch.
No, because she knows they'll go all over the carpet. She does it
and
deliberately.
You've got to vacuum it up.
Absolutely. So anyway, mate, nice to have you on. Wish you a Merry Christmas, and thanks for being part of the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Good on you, Liam and Ned. All the best to you. Happy Christmas to you and your podcast fans.
Hey, look, don't go too far away, because coming up next, the experts are saying you must include a Christmas Day nap into Christmas Day activities this year. We've talked about this a couple of times. The new stats are out as to why it will make your Christmas Day 10 times better.
I think I can get on board.
Yeah, we've got some top tips. We'll do that soon. Wrap it up in a minute. This is Christmas Podding.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Available now, just in time for Christmas. It's Christmas Podding's podcast playlist. Liam and Ness's ultimate list of Christmas classics like this.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness. Hey, we talk all things Christmas. And don't forget, there was an episode yesterday, one the day before and the day before that. There's one tomorrow as well and the day after that, because we're doing 12 days of Christmas podcasts.
All happening.
I'm tired thinking about it. We're hoping you're enjoying it, that you can find half an hour every day to spend Christmas with us. You might need a nap. How about a Christmas Day nap? We've floated this idea before, but now the experts are saying you really need to factor it into your day for a number of reasons. Let me run you through it. You're not big on the Christmas Day nap. I love it. Every year I have a little one.
Yeah, I it's not something I've done a lot of, but I definitely have an open mind to it, and I think I've got a game changer for it this year.
All right. They reckon you get disrupted sleep just before Christmas Day. So that day before, you're up late, you're wrapping presents, you're excited. There's the stress of getting everything ready. You're tossing and turning in your sleep. It's usually the night before Christmas Day that you get the least amount of sleep.
Yep, so, I can relate to that.
So you're already in a bit of a mood on Christmas morning.
Yeah, you're up late, wrapping presents, getting everything sorted. You might be starting your cooking for Christmas Day, and then the kids are up at the crack of dawn.
Or you could set a 9 a.m. curfew like we do. We start our Christmas Day at 9 a.m.
9
maybe
8.
Might bring it to 8 this year.
That is really late. It's so late.
We're good on the sleep in. Our family has always been great on sleeping in. They reckon the amount of energy it takes to digest large amounts of food saps so much energy, you need a catch-up nap in the afternoon. So you need to spend that 20 minutes, or I'd say either 20 or 90.
Yeah.
20 is a nice little power nap. 90 is a decent sleep on Christmas Day.
Yeah, look, that's a thing. Like, that's actually a scientific thing about food. Eating large quantities making you tired.
Oh, and all the sugars that go with it. And it's just, what do they call it?
Soporific.
What? What? I've never heard that before. What's that term mean?
I think it means getting tired from eating
from the food,
too much.
Does it really?
Yeah.
You were sitting on that one for a while. I've never heard you use that term.
I got it from a Peter Rabbit book.
Oh, so it must be real. Okay. All right.
I think it's real, or Beatrix Potter made it up.
It's a great term, nonetheless.
I know.
And another reason to have a nap on Christmas Day, you're reducing stress. It's a real tension breaker. Hey, just going for a 20-minute nap.
Yes.
Back in a couple of minutes.
I do like the circuit breaker idea where it's like everyone to your own devices and then reconvene. Now, I might just be taking the Christmas Day nap for the first time this year.
Why?
Because, game changer, this year's the first year I've had aircon in the bedroom. So
Can
now, go to my bed.
How have you lived?
Just with a pedestal fan and sweated, and every summer said, this is the last summer I'm spending in Brisbane. I'm moving to Tasmania. Mm.
I have said that numerous times.
I say it every summer.
Yeah.
Multiple times. But I haven't said it this summer. You know why? Aircon in the bedroom.
look, we talk a lot about eco Christmases. I haven't had a Christmas day at my house in 12 years. Mm-hmm. Probably good for the environment. We haven't. I've got 5 air conditioners in my house.
You love an aircon.
Every bedroom, which is 3 of them, are all airconned. The lounge room's airconned. The study is aircon, which also doubles as a 4th bedroom.
Yep.
So every major room in the house is just beautifully cold. And I've got them cranked up to 19 degrees and 4 bars on the fan. Like, it's just, that's the way it's going to be on Christmas Day.
Great. Yeah. I mean, that's what you need when you live in this climate.
Absolutely.
I mean, our northern listeners, no doubt, as in Northern Hemisphere, are just shaking their heads wondering how we could possibly be feeling hot right now.
I live in envy of anyone that lives in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
The 2 best Christmases I ever had were both in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm. Just wearing jackets, cold weather,
I can't
freezing
imagine.
Cold. It must be so weird so for our good. Northern friends listening. That's the norm.
Yeah.
Imagine what, in your mind, imagine what a hot Christmas is like. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just hot.
I don't recommend. No.
And Australia's just a hot country. Like, yeah. It's just hot.
Yep.
You know? Hey.
It's too hot.
But we go for a swim on Christmas Day.
Exactly. And we crank the aircon.
There's always a pool to jump into.
Yes.
So try and factor in a nap somewhere. It could be, as Ness said, the circuit breaker you need. We'll wrap it up with one of our own songs real soon. Oh, and your letters. We love the mailbag. We'll get to that next on Christmas Podding.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas. With your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. We're about to wrap it up with a nice little Christmas tune, one of our own that we have sung. Mailbag time, you've been writing to us. There's too many letters, we can't get to them all, but we want to say thank you for any messages you send. We appreciate that. If we give you a comment, something more than a like back on Facebook, it's because we love you and we thank you for being a part of the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for getting involved in this concept, because the mailbag is quite new to the podcast. Mm. So
it was Ness's idea, by the way.
Yes, this was one that I brought to the show.
One of three. One of your best. And should we decorate bedrooms? One of your best.
And how about we do a Christmas podcast? Don't forget.
You had the original idea.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's where I'll sit.
Who'd get the podcast into the divorce? If we broke up, who'd get the podcast? I'd take it.
It's my intellectual property.
Great, you can have it. I'm going to keep the... You can have the podcast, but I hold the rights to the upload, so I'll just keep the site and change the name. Well, I've thought that through, haven't I?
Yes. Are we going through a friend breakup?
No.
You're just putting it out
just
there.
Just keeping the options
can
open.
Can we please sign a prenup?
Hey, no, it's your podcast.
Anyway, look.
It's your podcast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You do the upload.
It's up to you. You can say whatever you like.
Right.
What's in the mailbag?
Mailbag today from Liz. Thank you for writing in, Liz. She loves our new songs that we've recorded these past few weeks. So we've got a whole new batch of songs, as hopefully you've been hearing at the end of the episode.
Was she specific? Was there a particular song she liked more than others?
No, but let's pretend that she loves Last Christmas.
It's my favourite too.
You and Liz just peas in a pod.
Yeah.
I mean,
like the new songs too. Liz, I had to twist Vanessa's arm to record them.
It's true.
We did have some old ones that we were using for years, and I said, we've got to do some new songs. And they're great.
You know what we never got around to? I was going to do the clarinet stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to put the clarinet on the
songs.
You
should have.
And we...
Yep.
Next Christmas. Yeah. Next podcast. Okay, next Christmas, it's on the list.
Okay.
Okay, Amy has also messaged in. Okay, she shared this video. It wasn't her own video, but it was a video. And it was a remote control Christmas tree. So it sets itself up. So it's basically comes in 2 parts and you just stick the top on top of the base, and then there's a remote control and down come the branches.
Out they fluff, electronic,
and then the lights come on.
Yeah,
so,
good idea.
This was really cool. You should search it up. It's very cool.
And you can never have too many Christmas trees. We were just talking before about we saw a copper Christmas tree online and we thought, that'd be nice just to add to the collection.
Definitely.
Not a main tree, but a subsidiary tree.
Look in the shops. Mm. Remote controlled Christmas tree might just be the next thing. And it reminded me, I also saw a video of a snowing Christmas tree. So it had a pipe up the middle and out the top came, I assume it was probably like what you put in bean bags, something like that. So the snow is falling down over the tree, and then it's got a collar around the bottom where it's catching it and siphoning it back up the middle of the tree, and you have this constantly snowing Christmas tree.
Next episode, let's tell the story of the Christmas fail when we recreated White Christmas with 18 bags of
Bean bag
filling.
Yeah.
I was finding those for years.
I know, in all sorts of nooks and crannies.
On tomorrow's show, every time we turn around, 18 years later, we're still finding beanbag balls. It was a great whiteboard idea. It was horrible in execution.
Yeah.
It's still one of my most favourite things we ever did. We'll tell you about that tomorrow. We're doing 12 Days of Christmas podcast, a podcast every day, right up until Christmas Day. One of our own songs right now to wrap it up, as we like to say, it's never too early.
Never too late.
To wish someone a Merry Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Once bitten and twice shy, I kept my distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. Merry Christmas, I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying love you, I meant it. But now I know what a fool I've been. But if you kiss me now, I know you'd fool me again.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
A crowded room and friends with tired eyes, I'm hiding from you and your soul of eyes. My gosh, I thought you was someone to rely on me. I guess I was a shoulder to cry on, a face on a lover with a fire in his heart, a girl on a cover, but you tore her apart. Maybe this year, I'll give it to someone special.
'Cause last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Yeah, $50 for Christmas for school photos.
I've spent $100 because it's $30 per kid and yeah. Then the sibling photo.
Oh,
so
right.
You got to pay for three packages. I know. Rip off.
I've bought 12 Christmas DVDs in the last 24 hours.
Well, that's rampant consumerism. And disaster. What empty hole are you filling in your soul?
Yeah, absolutely. And now my collection must be pushing 200. 200 movies.
You're out of control. You need to stop.
Why?
Because who needs that many movies? Like, you'll never watch them.
I do watch them. I'd watch one a day in December, at
when
least.
You get your time.
And don't forget, me and the kids watch one nearly every Saturday, like throughout the year.
Yeah.
Like, we've watched a lot of movies. And when I'm dead and gone, the kids the kids will go, oh, remember we watched that with Dad?
You Let's know? Burn them.
put
he
market,
made us sit through
put them on Marketplace. They will. Dollar each, not even. Make me an offer. Kids.
Fill a bag for $1.
That's supposed to be special.